Hi, Jess. Good morning to you, and thank you. Happy Easter to you as well.
Thank you. Now, a lady who leaves her husband, house and friends and ends up in a big unfamiliar city, your life is certainly fascinating.
Thank you. It's had a few twists and turns.
So you're definitely a country girl at heart. I mean, you're back in South Australia, and are you back on the land?
Well, I'm absolutely a country girl at heart. They say you can take the girl out of the country, but it's there still at my heart. No, I'm living in Adelaide now. When I moved back, I did actually look at living in the hills where it was rural, but I realised with my business I needed to be a bit closer to the city.
Now, you had a great love of reading as a child, and as I read out, you thought you would be the next Enid Blyton. Did you fancy yourself as a writer, and up until about what age?
Well, it is true. I do actually remember having that thought, and that was because Enid Blyton entertained me as a child, and what fascinated me was how, as a reader, I could just get totally immersed in a story and a different world. And I think at that age, well, you know, very young and obviously not much of a clue about life, I think I wanted to do that for people, and I lost track of the dream to write for many, many years, even though it was there at a certain level, because I think I've always written stories and poetry and bits and pieces, and I'm a bit of an obsessive list maker, and I think that's always been with me.
Now, you married young and your marriage ended and you headed to Melbourne, where you started studying at 26. You then started your own business, Content Solutions. How does a country girl get on in the high-flying corporate executive world of the eastern states?
Well, I got on okay. I don't think I truly fitted in, because I used to look around me and think all of this excess and the high flying and the fast pace, just it made my mind spin a bit. And I don't think I really totally understood why people needed to be like this. But that was their world, and I was from a different world. And I think it really helped my business that I was a down-to-earth, spades-a-spade kind of person, which, you know, I take as being from my country roots.
Were you happy doing that, sort of having that corporate lifestyle?
I was really happy in Melbourne, loved Melbourne. But, of course, a big part of that was getting the opportunity to go to university for the first time as a very mature age student. But when we moved, my partner got a big promotion to Sydney, and I wasn't keen to go, but I went with him because that's what one does. And it basically unravelled from there. It was the heady days of the telcos putting together their bids for the 3G network that we now have, and it was high pressured. You know, he was doing lots of travelling, and it was just not me.
Now, let's talk about the book. It's a lovely title, and it's fascinating and very easy to read. Most people can relate to it. Now, Claire McIntyre is definitely a control freak. Is there a bit of you in her?
How do I answer that, Jess? Claire's journey mirrors mine. I hope I'm not quite as intense as Claire, but I do have very high expectations of myself, and I think that translates to people around me, and I am very driven. But as I said, it is her journey. She realises that she's lost what really makes her heart sing, and she needs to find that again, and that's what I've done. I think there's a propensity in all of us to be a control freak in some sense, and I hope I've succeeded in trying to channel that into being more self-disciplined and going after my own dream.
Figures like Claire's father, Jack, are all around us in sort of everyday society with his passion for horses, and he's hoping he might produce something great. Is this a story about chasing a dream against all odds?
Absolutely, and I think there's as much of me in Jack as there is of me in Claire. I've been chasing this writing dream for quite a while. It was almost exactly 10 years ago. I had a bit of a light bulb moment where I realised that my calling was to be a novelist and that I would do that and not let anyone stand in my way. And it's now 10 years later, it's finally actually happened. So, yes, I think even though we don't all have horses, I think in most of us there's been the desire to have a dream or to chase a dream or to want to have a dream. So I think a lot of people can relate to Jack.
You've certainly done well in chasing that dream. I understand this is your fourth manuscript and the first to be published. How, having been rejected for three different books, what keeps you driven? Why do you want to have see this published?
Well, the thing is for me, Jess, a lot of authors will work on one manuscript for 10 years. I just like to write. And I like to tell a story and I like to finish things. And so I've just kept moving forward. And every now and then I get the courage to send them out and, you know, wait for the rejection. And then a few years ago, I realised that it really actually didn't matter if... I was convinced that one day someone would see, a publisher, would see the merit in my work and want to publish me. And I just thought, well, okay, if maybe I've got 20 manuscripts done by then, it doesn't matter, because for me, the joy of my life is just the actual writing. And to be published was the icing on the cake, and it was really important. But I, for some reason, I need to write. It's what makes me happy.
Well, you'll certainly be ahead of the game now that you've had one published. They'll be asking you for more. You'll be able to submit them.
Well, yes, the publishers, Harlequin, actually do have a couple of the others, and we are looking at hopefully getting the one before, number three, the one before Paycheck out next year.
That's great. Now, back to the book, there are certainly very fascinating characters within Paycheck that we've already spoken about. Are these based on people in your life?
No, actually, I get asked this question a lot, and I make up composite characters based on personality types that I need to drive the story. So, you know, you picked that Claire's a control freak, and, you know, it's her journey of self-discovery, so she needs to realise that, you know, sometimes you have to let go and there's a lot of stuff out there that you can't control. And so the other characters are chosen because they have a place in the story, and I think people that know me will look at my books to find themselves as characters, and they always will find themselves, because I believe there's only a certain number of personality types that are there, so you just make them a bit more extreme, or you make them a bit composites of a number of different people that you know or characters that you've seen, because I just love to watch people. So I've been studying the human condition for quite a while.
There are many messages in this book, particularly for corporate Australia, or high-flying corporate people being out of touch with reality and sort of willing to give work everything they've got while they lose their families. Is this what you wanted to achieve with Paycheck?
I wanted to achieve people questioning their lives. It's not an absolute dig at corporate Australia. It's more about the people that work in those environments to stop and wonder and think about, well, what really is important to me and what is going to make me happy for the long term? Because often these big jobs that people do in corporate Australia aren't there for long. You know, they ride waves, and at the end of the day, I think you need to be able to come home to some kind of stable life. And if you've put your relationship in jeopardy doing that, chasing that money, then you're a bit stuffed, really.
Now, doing the research for our interview today, I discovered your favourite word was pernickety. Now, that's not a common word nowadays, and do you think that you're pernickety?
Absolutely, Jess. I'm a very pernickety person. I first heard it a few years ago, probably about 6 or 7 years ago, and I was working with a guy who was a project manager and with my business, and he was English. And, you know, when I do my work with large businesses, I'm a writing and editing consultant, and so I need to be, and I'm paid quite well to be, very pernickety.
Now, I'm fascinated to know when the sequel is. I need to know what happens to Claire and how the story continues. Will we be seeing a sequel to Paycheck?
Well, there's been no sequel planned because in my mind, Claire's journey, she's learnt what she had to learn. But you never know, Jess, because I've been getting quite a few emails from people wanting a sequel. So I'm going to have to put my thinking cap on, I think, down the track.
Well, you'll be getting an email from me because I need to know.
Well, I'll have to let you know after I know, Jess.
Fiona McCallum, Paycheck is a fascinating book where words just roll off the pages with subtle messages and not so subtle messages. It's been lovely talking to you. Good luck with the book, and I cannot wait for the sequel to Paycheck.
Thanks so much, Jess.
Thank you.